Okay, so how's everybody doing? Good? Good. Okay. We're going to do our declarations for our city, and again, going to continue to just cast vision for this. It's just so important that we continue to speak life over our city, because there's lots of good things happening in our valley, and I know it's hard to see. I follow a page on Facebook called WTF Yakima, and it is just a barrage of sometimes good, mostly look at this car wreck, look at this drug bust, and so forth. And so I know that that it's very easy to see the bad. That's very easy to do. But my challenge and my heart would be that we would be people that would look at our city and declare the name of Jesus over our city. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right. So let's stand together. I like to stand. It gets me out of, my comfort, and it gets, it wakes me up a little bit, and get our blood flowing. Yes. If Nancy was here, she calls it shaking your wiggles out. I'm not going to make you do that. Okay. So we're going to make this declaration, and I want us to say it with a little bit of a heart behind it, because there's power when us in unification declare this over our city, okay? So on three, let's say this together with a little bit of oomph in our spirit. One, two, three. Thank you, Lord,
for what you are doing in the Yakima Valley right now. And today we declare that my city will be saved, that revival will sweep the streets of the Yakima Valley, that every business, big or small, will thrive, that the families in my city will have all of their needs met. I declare that every politician in our city and state would have the wisdom of heaven,
that you would use me in doing all of these things, and I declare that your will be done in Yakima as it is in heaven. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, I'm just going to pray for our valley. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in our city, God. And I thank you, Lord, that if we are having a hard time seeing what you're doing, seeing your hand move in our city, God, that you would open up our eyes, God, that you would open up our eyes to the heart that you have for Yakima. God, I thank you that you could have put us anywhere. You could have had us move anywhere. You could have had us born anywhere, God, but you chose to put us in this city for such a time as this. And I just pray, Lord, that your blessing would be over our valley. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Awesome. Do we have announcements? I don't remember if we have. Oh, just the giving. Awesome. Awesome. So thank you guys for giving. Yes, you guys know the drill. But if you, just in case you forgot, you can give online, onelifefamilyworship.com, as well as we have the offering boxes. And we thank you so much for continuing to give and sow into what God's doing here.
Spill this again.
Have you spilled it already?
Once.
Praise the Lord. How's everyone doing this morning? Good. Well, we are going to be back in John 17. And yesterday we had men's breakfast, and I was going to share a scripture, And it ended up being that we just had great fellowship. And so I didn't end up sharing that scripture. And then when I was reading through John 17 again today, the parts that we were going to cover, the same thought came out. And so I said, okay, Lord, it wasn't for that day. You knew it was for today. So today we're going to be talking about being out of the Lord's Prayer, sanctified in truth. And sanctification is a word that has been sometimes misunderstood, and it's a communication to us about how we can change and be different than the world. And so we'll look at this thought and truth. So this is a lot of scripture. Giggles. This is a lot of scripture. Well, yeah. We're just going to read through 26, and then we'll really get into it. I won't be sharing all of this. Yeah, it's a lot. She's like, this is a lot of scripture. Yeah, it's all good.
So is this first one 12?
Yeah, well, this is like 12b, because 12 is still up. 12b, okay. Yeah. And this is John 17, 12b.
All right. You ready?
Yep.
I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost except the son of destruction, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I'm coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself that they also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask for these things only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me, and love them even as you loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them.
Now you can take a breath. So this is Jesus' priestly prayer. This is John 17. How many have read John 17 before and really realized that this is all Jesus praying? And he's praying for his disciples. He's praying for us. He's praying to the Father. He's interceding. How many know that the prayer of a righteous man availeth much?
Yes.
Is there any more righteous than Jesus?
Right.
So I believe these prayers that he's praying are being fulfilled, that they're true, they're real, and they take place. As long as we put faith and confidence in what God's doing in our lives, what he's praying here will come to pass in our lives. Amen?
Amen.
So one of the key thoughts that I pulled away from this was, of course, sanctification. How many know what sanctification is? Anybody here? I bet Moses knows. I'm not sure. It's kind of one of those words that has lots of different meanings. But because it's used different ways. Mm-hmm. A lot of times we as Christians think that sanctification is just the process of being changed from glory to glory. That we're not the same today as we were yesterday, and we won't be the same tomorrow as we are today. That because of sanctification, we're being set apart from the world.
Right.
But sanctification can mean set apart, where you're literally set apart for a specific work. So when we're saved, we're translated or brought from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of His love. So in that process, we are sanctified to God. We are set apart holy to God. We're no longer in the world. We're no longer of the world. We may be in the world as far as this location, but it's not like our home. It's not like what drives us. At least it shouldn't be. Mm-hmm. And so that's part of the sanctification. But then there is the process of continuing to be sanctified, which is what we're going to talk about today. And if anybody is totally confused, just raise your hand. I'll have Gay straighten it out.
Right.
No, I think I was pretty clear, wasn't it? Clear as mud. Clear as mud. Let me take a drink here. This is my mud coffee, which Eric got me hooked on because caffeine seems to bother me. There we go. Yeah. No further details. Mushroom coffee. Yeah, it's not mud, but most people equate mud or mushrooms with dirt, so therefore mud. Yeah. Okay, well, that's a little commercial for mud. If you're interested in that, you know, you get them online. What's that? It's sponsored by my coffee. Yeah, there we go. So let's go ahead and look at this verse 15, 17, and 18. Yeah, 18 and 19 again.
I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I'm not of the world.
Go ahead and pause there just for a second. So he's saying, I do not ask that you take them out of the world. You know, when we get saved, God doesn't just have us die in the spot and then, you know, we get to go up to heaven. You know, it may be easier for some of us because the sanctification process is a long haul, but he didn't. He leaves us in the world, and he leaves us in the world. Why? So that we can just be battered and beaten around? No, he leaves us in the world so that we can be a testimony for God here in the world, so we can communicate the glorious gospel to this world, so we can be a light shining in darkness.
Yeah. So you know the story about how Australia started?
A little bit, yeah. That was a prison.
It was a prison island.
Yeah.
And so anytime somebody committed any kind of wrong, they would ship them to Australia, and they were held as a prisoner on Australia, because Australia is an island. And that's how Australia was formed. We are not saved and put on a little island where all the saved people are. We are not saved and protected from the world, in essence, because how are people going to come to Jesus?
So we're not supposed to just huddle in our churches?
But don't we?
Yeah, sometimes.
Think about it, don't we? We are such creatures of comfort. And just like Eric said, God does not care about your comfort. He really doesn't. He does care about your growth. And he does care about other people around you that nobody else really can touch. Think about that. Vicky is in the healthcare system. Vicky touches people's lives I will never even meet. And Vicky does it very well. But he does not take us, save us, and then ship us somewhere so that we'll stay saved until he returns. But we live like that.
Sometimes.
Sometimes we do.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times we do.
Yeah.
Okay.
But then he says, but that you keep them from the evil one, meaning our adversary. So he's praying that God wouldn't take us out of the world, but that he would keep us safe from the evil one. And so I believe that as Christians, that we have an ability to not be trapped and manipulated and deceived. And all of the tricks of the devil, they don't have to affect us. If we keep our heart in Christ, if we keep our lives in Christ, mm-hmm. He's not able to get in. Now, if he does get in, the only thing is then, if someone's doing something against us for the cause of Christ, that's part of the faith. But as far as us being taken down and being dragged back into our old sins, it doesn't have to be that way.
Yeah.
Christ died so that we could be free. He was resurrected so that we could live a new life above all our old past behaviors.
So I'm 60 years old, and I have lived the majority of my life thinking that God would keep me from the evil one in the way that I looked at it.
Mm.
If God is so good, he wouldn't have let my first husband break my family up. He wouldn't have had my first husband suffer with cancer. He would not have had our son Aaron pass away at 14 years old. If God was keeping me from the evil one. But that is his timeline and his for my life. It's okay, so let me see if I can explain what I'm thinking. In my mind, all of the years that I wasted on it being my interpretation of him keeping me from the evil one, not his interpretation or his will for my life. If I would have really learned love, really learned the heart of Jesus, I wouldn't have been wrapped up in, but Lord,
I'm a Christian. Why is this happening to me?
Why is this happening to me?
Why?
Why are we standing on the edge of a grave that and lowering a body of a 14-year-old into the ground? If you're so good, God, why are you letting that happen? But the growth that has come out of that for both of us, but a lot in me, has taught me how truly he has kept me from the evil one. I just didn't look at it in the way that he was meaning it,
right.
Not the way that I was interpreting it.
Right. That's good.
And don't we all do that, though?
Yeah.
We do. We really do.
When we were talking about the why, I'm thinking for a second about your message last week. And we have our why, right? Hopefully, of why we do and how we live and move and have our being in God. But then, you know, if we're not doing that, it seems like then we turn it back on God. Why do you do this, God? Why is this happening in my life? Why did you let this happen? Because we don't have our correct why.
Mm-hmm.
So just a little addendum to Eric's message last week. Okay, go ahead. Verse 17.
Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself that they also may be sanctified in truth.
Sanctify them in truth. So there's that word sanctify. And some of your translations that you may read, this is the ESV or is this the New King James? I want to go back and look. Oh, it's not on there because I got rid of it. Yeah, I think this is the New King James that we're using here. But anyway, the New Living Translation says, make them holy.
Mm.
Make them holy, Lord, in your truth. Make them holy. In other words, it's a process. So this is we're talking about a process sanctification. The disciples had already followed Jesus. The disciples had already left their boats, and Matthew left his tax collecting booth, and Judas, not Iscariot, he left his being part of the zealots, and you know they all had their lives, and they left to follow him. So they had all, in their way, sanctified themselves to Jesus. They had separated themselves from the normal life. Now God here, Jesus, is asking that the truth of God, that is his word, would continue this process of sanctification, making them holy. And what happens when we're made holy? We're made more like Jesus.
Right.
We're becoming more like God. We're hopefully at that point then reflecting his glory and transmitting his glory and releasing his glory, shining his glory out to others so that they don't just see us, they see Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
They see his character, they see his nature. And sanctification is necessary for this to happen. We were talking, a few of us, can't remember when it was, but we were talking about how unfortunate it is that there's people who through, you know, their whole adult life, they go to church every single Sunday. They, you know, they may be great tithers. They may be individuals that, you know, that sit on a board somewhere or something, but they haven't let the sanctification process take place.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't let the truth of God come in, challenge them. That's what the truth of God does. It's a mirror. You know, it's like looking at a mirror, you know, and, you know, when I look at a mirror, you know, at 62, I see these lumps and stuff where did that come from? You know, and I try to lose some weight and those just don't seem to go away, you know? So as I'm looking in a mirror, I'm inspecting what I look like. I'm going like, wow, I need to change, you know, and I try to change, but, you know, as you get older, it's harder to change. But the point being is when we're looking into the Word of God, the truth, it's like looking in a mirror and we see all of our failures, our faults. Now, we're not to condemn ourselves, but we're to then let the Holy Spirit say, let me help you.
Right.
Let me help you move to another level in me. And that just requires us to be yielding, surrendering, accountable to God, accountable to others. And without that sanctification process, those individuals end up going into real life. They leave church on Sundays. They go to work on Monday, or they go to their business on Monday, or they do whatever. And now, because they haven't sanctified their life through truth, they're now a poor witness for God. And people may know that they go to church. People may know that they're Christians, or they're quote-unquote, you know, religious in their eyes. And yet they treat others with contempt, with anger, with malice, judging others. And the problem is, that right there is not the character of Christ. And as the one life is a glory to God and a reflection of Christ, the other is a reproach to God, as Romans says. That people then end up blaspheming the name of God because someone didn't let the sanctification process take place. So it is very necessary. And that's why Jesus, his final prayer, you know, his last declaration to the Father, he's making sure that this is part of the prayer. Sanctify them, Father, in your truth. Your word is truth. Okay. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. Now think about that. How was Jesus sent into the world? To die. To die. Now, he died a physical death. We're to die a death of our own way. We're to die a death, and possibly a physical death. You know, we have been very blessed in this nation where we have not been persecuted hardly at all. Someone called me a stupid. There is some persecution that takes place, and there has been some Christians in the United States that have suffered through the years persecution. You know, during the change from when we were, you know, a colony to today, there has been some. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, this nation has been a free place to worship God. That we don't worry about someone knocking on our door tonight because we went to church today and hauling off us off to jail or cutting off our head or you know, whatever they do to individuals who are not following their quote-unquote guidelines of you know religion or no religion or lands that have other faiths. A Christian faith can be like a total aggressive thing to them, even though the gospel is the gospel of peace. To them, it creates chaos and havoc, so they want to get rid of them. And so what I'm trying to say is he was sent in the world to not only bring the good news of God and to set the captives free and heal those, but he's also brought into this world to die. That was part of the process of what he's doing. And so we are his representatives, and yes, we're to you know, pray for the sick and all of those things, but also ultimately we're to decrease so that he might increase. Do you have something? Or are you processing?
I'm processing.
She's processing. Okay. And for their sake, so for whose sake?
Our sake.
For the sake of the disciples and now our sake, I consecrate myself. Now, interestingly enough, get this word consecrate is the same Greek word as sanctify. So you could say, for their sake, I sanctify myself. Now, wait a minute. What do you mean, consecrate yourself, sanctify yourself? Jesus, you're holy. There's not one bit of darkness or sin in you. You were a perfect, spotless lamb, ready to be sacrificed. So, what do you mean, I consecrate? He's going to another level of sanctification because he's separating himself for the work of the cross. He's literally consecrating himself, separating himself to go to the cross. And if we think of the prayer in the garden, Lord, let this cup pass from me if you can. Whatever you can do. Is there a plan B anywhere? Is there someone else in heaven that maybe is prepared for this, or is can we postpone this for a while and someone else can, you know? No, Father, your will be done.
And the hiccup that would have gotten me is that the disciples didn't stay awake and pray. It's like, oh, shame on you. Couldn't you do that? I mean, I'm going to the cross here. But you see, I would get
it was
all
just,
caught up.
It was probably just another prayer night for them. They had no clue.
But they did have a clue. They just didn't get the clue.
Right.
Because he had told them time and time and time again what was going to happen.
They were clueless. Okay, let's look at this word sanctification real quickly, because I'm realizing that we're going a little longer than I thought in this first part. So to sanctify, it's in G37 in the Strong's. And I won't even be the way to pronounce it would like filled up that whole thing. I said I won't even worry about that. It's a verb. What do verbs mean?
It's
when you were in school, what did a verb mean?
Action.
Actions taking place. So what does that mean? Sanctification isn't like something is just sitting there, you know, on a shelf over there. Oh, I'm sanctified. I just love the way my sanctification looks. It's beautiful. You know what? I'm going to turn it this way just so the light just reflects off of it. It's not that. Sanctification is a verb. It means that something has to take place. It means that you have to move forward in your sanctification. It's not something that just happens to you either.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be nice if we could all just go to sleep tonight and wake up tomorrow and then a new level of sanctification's there. Just if we go to sleep, that's when the sanctification takes place. No, sanctification takes place when people buffet you, when people give you a bad time, when you suffer failures. All those things that you were talking about that when you said that the Lord you didn't think was protecting you from the evil one, you were being sanctified.
Right.
You were learning that over the years that that's not important. What's important is God's love. What's important is that God loves me. What's important is how do I love others?
Mm-hmm.
How do I change to be more like Jesus? That's the sanctification process.
Right.
And sometimes we're moving quicker in it, and other times it seems like we're standing still. So what I encourage all of us to do is to let God and let the Holy Spirit make us holy. That's one word for sanctification, mm-hmm. to make us holy. Another word for sanctification can mean to ceremonially purify or consecrate. Consecrate. Not concentrate. Consecrate, no. It means to mentally to venerate. You ever heard the word venerate? That means to give a higher level to someone. Veneration a lot of times is used in the Catholic Church for people who are made saints. They're called venerated. So but really, it means to be holy, to be made holy, or to sanctify. Or how about this? When we pray, hallowed be your name in what we call the Lord's Prayer, that's sanctified. Holy is your name. Holy is your name. So let's look at a few verses. We got a little bit of time left. And see what it means for this sanctification process to take place in us. Here's Ephesians 5, 26, 27. You got it?
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish.
So, husbands, love your wives. So, this is the famous Ephesians 5 chapter that talks about marriage, and quoted a lot of times at marriage ceremonies. But this particular part here shifts from just the marriage ceremony to the principle of Christ and his church, which we are. We are his bride. And it says here that Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. That's what we've been talking about this morning. That all hail King Jesus. He was the one who took our sins, had them placed upon himself, died with those sins, went to we believe, to hell with those sins where they belong, then rose out of hell after he busted up the devil. We read about that in, I think, Timothy it might be. He led captivity captive. That those ones that were in hell or in Hades at the time, preached to them and led them up into God's glory, into a new life. And what he then did is he made it so that we might be sanctified through the cleansing us, through the washing of the water by the word. So getting back to this one verse, I won't take you all the way back, but it reads, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. So is it necessary to read the word? Is it necessary to have the word memorized in our hearts? Is it necessary to know the word of God? I think so. I think the word of God is part of the sanctification process. Right. It's what Jesus uses to cleanse us with the washing of the water of the word. Now, can Jesus just speak to us with revelation word and bring us to, you know, to a change and a cleansing without us reading the word? He can, but he's given us his word. You know, people died so that we could have this word. People died. I mean, I know it seems like it's so available. I mean, any phone has it. You can go to you know, Bible Gateway and get almost every single translation. You can have 50 versions of the Bible on my iPad. You know, it seems very available. Mm-hmm. And when things are very available, what can they become? We can become complacent with them, right. Non-appreciative. We don't
too familiar.
Too familiar that we don't apply them to our lives. Mm-hmm. And so it is necessary for the sanctification process, I believe, for us to get the Word of God in us. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't have to be, you know, like I said before, some regiment where, you know, you're just reading your Bible every single day and you're checkmarking, I went through it. You know, it'd be better if you were reading one or two verses that touched your heart and you let those change you. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's good to know the entire word. I mean, nobody else has to do this, but right now I've been inspired, and it's a lot of work, to read through the Bible in 2 months. I'm just finishing it this week. Will be my second month, and I'm finishing it. Now, it's not to toot my horn, but I'm doing that because I want to, you know, hide his word in my heart. Mm-hmm. When you're reading it that much, you're not always, you know, picking up, you know, the rhema that you need. So I still do my Jesus calling, and when I get a verse that stands out, I'll mark it, and then I go back to my Bible and I'll study it. But getting the word in your life is necessary. Mm-hmm. You know, what's the one scripture? I said it to somebody the other day. It should be desired more than our necessary food. Mm-hmm. You know, Jesus said, man does not live by bread alone, but what? By every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Every rhema that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And you get rhema by getting his word in you. And again, can you get it by coming to church and listen to me and the Lord speaks to your heart? And yes, but that's like only 52 times a year. If you're limiting your word input to only 52 times a year, that's if you come every Sunday, you know. I don't even make it always to church every Sunday, you know, but so.
You're pretty close.
Pretty close, yeah.
So have you ever had a really good steak?
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever had a really good steak that's been marinated?
Oh, yeah.
The difference between a non-marinated steak and a marinated steak is being in the marinade.
Yeah.
So being in the word is like a marinating of our spirit.
Oh, that's good.
Because
it's permeating.
It's giving the opportunity for our spirits to be permeated with the love of God, the power of God, because his word is power, life, love, everything that we need, his word is.
That's good.
So, there you go.
Okay, let's look at 1 Peter 3:15. Almost done here.
But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear.
This is the verse I was going to share. But sanctify, what's that mean? Make holy, set apart, mm-hmm. the Lord God in your hearts. So what does that mean? That means there's that our hearts are a place for God's presence.
Mm-hmm.
That our hearts, you know, and we've talked about this before, our hearts got in different chambers, and you can say that, you know, we've got, you know, different things that we do that we don't let God in that house or that part of our heart. Mm-hmm. But to sanctify the Lord God in our hearts means to give him everything.
Right.
To let him know about all our junk in our mm-hmm. trunk, all our closets that have a mess going on, you know, our good spots, you know, where we read the word, let him, of course he's invited there always, but it seems like we don't really invite him to the places that are dirty, you know. How many people have guests over their house and the first place you take them to is the dirty closet or your junk drawer? Hey, come check out this junk drawer.
You know,
I don't even know what's in there. No, we don't do that, you know,
no.
or show them, pull out our fridge. How about that? Hey, look at behind the fridge, you know, you guys ever done that? You pull your fridge out and you go like, what is that? It's just nasty. Well, I'm just saying we don't do that, but there is stuff in our lives that is like that. And God wants to see everything. He doesn't want us to hide things from him. And so sanctify the Lord in your hearts. And then finally, 1 Thessalonians 5:23.
Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ.
So in the last one, we saw how sanctification was connected with us then communicating to others the glorious hope that's in us. The reason why. How did it say it again? And always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. So, you know, basically,
that's a reason to be in your word.
That's a reason to be in your word. As you're sanctifying your heart, always be ready after that. And then here, after you've been sanctified completely, it then enables us to have our whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless. Mm-hmm. See, when we have God's righteousness, we're righteous before mm-hmm. God. God sees Jesus' righteousness. But then there's activity that we can get involved in, even though he sees Jesus, mm-hmm. that then we're not blameless anymore.
Right.
Because we're doing things that is not aligning with what he's worked out in us
right.
and what he's already called us. You know, it'd be like, you know, calling a black cat white. That cat over there is white. No, it's black. Mm-hmm. No, it's white. But it's like our behavior doesn't align with who God made us to be. Mm-hmm. And so when we let the Lord Jesus, and that's what it is, let the Holy Spirit. This isn't something that you can do on your own. I'm going to fully sanctify myself. You know, I know people that have tried that. You know, quit drinking, quit smoking. Quit dating
my
girls
dad.
That do. Yeah, your dad did.
My dad was
yeah.
that way.
That was before he was a Christian, though, right?
That was before he would go to church.
Before you go to church. Yeah, I got to do all these things. Yeah.
Walk the aisle and get saved.
Right.
He's like, got to quit smoking, got to quit cussing. And what he picked up was chewing gum, bubble gum. And he chewed with his mouth open. So it was not pleasant. But he felt like he needed to do that because
then he could go to church.
Then he would be okay to go to church at least,
right? Because he wasn't a smoker and a drinker
and a drinker, yeah. Right? Or a cusser. I mean, all of those things.
And that's hard because it's the Holy Spirit, it's God in us that transforms us and truly changes us.
Right.
I mean, he may have said, "I'm not going to do these things anymore," but it was difficult without God helping him along. God must have been helping him because he was an alcoholic for years. And God does sometimes help us without us even recognizing it. But it's better to invite him into our mess and say, "Lord, this place is a mess. I've just pulled out my refrigerator. You see everything. Can you help me clean this up?" Because I know most people don't see it, but I know you see it. You know it's there. I know it's there. Help me clean it up. Let's put it back. You know, whatever. Fill in the blank. Lord, help me with this thing that's in my life. Can you make it so that I'm being sanctified in your truth? Because your word is truth. Can you let Holy Spirit come in and work the sanctification process in me? But it has to be a partnership.
Yeah.
We don't do it just on our own. You know, someone may leave here today or listening and say, "Okay, all I need to do is read my word more and I'll be sanctified." Well, you know, that's good. But are you letting the word then challenge you Are you then becoming a doer of the word? Are you just a hearer only? I mean, there's other things that go along with that. So you have to be vulnerable. You have to be accountable to God. Amen? All right. We're good? All right. Does anyone have anything else they want to share? No one. Okay. Lord, we just thank you for this time together. Lord, we pray that you would just bless, Lord, every single person here today, Lord, with a new level of letting your sanctification process happen in them, Lord, that you would sanctify them wholly in you, that their spirit, soul, and body would be preserved blameless at the coming of you, Lord. And Father, we pray right now, Lord, that if there's any thing in our lives, anything that's hindering that work, Lord, anything that the enemy's placed there or caused us to hold on to, Lord, we pray that you would just allow it to be released into your capable hands.
Yes, Jesus.
And we just love you, Jesus. Amen.
Darling, of my own understanding, my life is in the hands of the Maker of heaven. Darling, not of my own understanding, my life is in the hands of the Maker of heaven. Darling, not of my own understanding. Trusting that you'll make something beautiful out of me. Give it all to you. I give it all to you, God. Trusting that you'll make something beautiful out of me.
So I will climb this mountain.
And I will climb this mountain with my hands wide open. I will climb this mountain with my hands wide.
Please stand together, church.
I will climb this mountain with my hands wide open. I will climb this mountain with my hands.
Come on, let's declare this.
And I will climb this mountain with my hands wide open.
Biggest part is just allowing Holy Spirit to work in us. So Father, we do give ourselves to you.
Father, help us to just want to know your heart and to know your love. Help that to be what instigates all change in us, is your love and your heart, Jesus. So we give ourselves to you and say, do what you need to do to allow that to be evident in us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So please, everybody, do not go home and eat. Stay. We have plenty of food. We're going to be honoring and loving on the Martinez family with the new baby. And if you haven't had a chance to meet Madden, he is going to be there. So we get to all see and love on him. So please stay for lunch. We love you all. Amen.